49, and we're in verses 22 through 26, so now we're moving beyond one verse per week. However, we'll have to divide this passage up into two messages. here in Genesis chapter 49, verse 22 through 26, all right? So let's read these verses together. So we're in Genesis 49, 22 through 26. Here we go. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth underneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, and blessings of the father that prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for this day. We praise thee that we can come to thee and meet here in this assembly. We thank thee for the freedoms of the land and pray that you'll continue to do work in hearts and lives and give us this freedom. We thank thee for the protection we have. The opportunities of life, we pray that you'll bless now as the word of God goes forth. Use this time for thy glory and speak to hearts like for each one here. Pray for those that are struggling, some in our congregation as that have physical needs, and others that may have other needs or concerns that you'll work in their hearts. Bless now, we pray, as we open the scriptures and hear from thee, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we have the account of Joseph, and so the sons of Jacob. Certainly Jacob loved Joseph. We saw that in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and following. And so this passage deals with two main thoughts. One is the glory of Joseph, and the second is the God of Joseph. So the glory of Joseph and the God of Joseph. So this week I want to talk about the glory of Joseph. Next week, talk about the God of Joseph. We do see here at least five expressions dealing with the Lord, names for him. And really, here at the outset, what this passage is indicating is the fact that there was glory upon Joseph is solely because of the God of Joseph. And this passage really is more about the God of Joseph than it is Joseph. And there, I think we ought to think about that. When our life's over and done with, will people look at us and remember us and think about who we were or about who our God was and is? Will they look at us and say, he was somebody who lived for Christ and look at all the things the Lord did through this individual? Or is somebody who lived for himself and look at all the things this individual did by himself? See, how will they evaluate our life? Well, as we look at Joseph here, his life is all about what the Lord did. And so he, of course, manifested the Lord in his life. He was a prefigurement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see many of these truths here relating to Joseph right at the outset. All right. Now, as we consider Joseph, he was Jacob's 11th son and first son of Rachel. And we have that account. So let's look at the account once again. Back here in Genesis chapter 30. So our Bibles are probably opening up to this regularly now. So chapters 29 and 30 really have to do with the birth of the sons and the mothers involved and the turmoil that they were going through as they named each one of the children. So we're here in chapter 30, Genesis chapter 30. And we look here in verses 22 through 24. All right, so here is Jacob's 11th son, and first son of Rachel. Now, Rachel was the wife, obviously, that Jacob loved, and yet Leah gave offspring, and then Rachel's handmaid gave offspring, and then Leah's handmaid gave offspring, and finally, we get to Rachel. So verse 22 in Genesis 30 says, "And God remembered Rachel." This expression, "God remembered," this comes up several times in Genesis. One of the best known has to do with Noah, and God remembered Noah. But here it's God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her. So God hearkened to her meant that the Lord heard her. What was she doing? She was praying. She's asking for a son. And no longer was she using the mandrakes, or no longer was she using the handmaid. Now she came to the Lord in prayer, and the Lord heard her prayer. And opened her womb, we're told in verse 22. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, so here now is her expression here, "God hath taken away my reproach," and she called his name Joseph, and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." So the name Joseph here means adding, and there's a play on the word, the verb shall add. So whenever you think of the word Joseph, it means adding. And now it's very similar and sounds a great deal like the earlier verb hath taken away, asaf, hath taken away or removed. But here, Joseph. And there's a pun. So she, as the other mothers, punned on the names of the children and the situation in which they were. And so here she says, "The Lord shall add to me another son." Well, presumably the another son is the one coming after him. This would be Benjamin. So if you look over there in chapter 35, verse 17... 35:17. Here we have Rachel and her second son. 35:17. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And this was Benjamin. So Rachel then had faith in the Lord that he would not only give her another son, Joseph, but another son after Joseph, being Benjamin. And so here we see her her prayer, and so the Lord shall add to me another son. So Joseph means adding. Now, if you look, jump forward here for a minute, chapter 37. Here we have 37 verse 5. This has to do with the brothers. 37:5, and there in Genesis 37:5 says Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now you see the expression, yet the more? This comes from the verb meaning added to. In other words, they Josephed their hatred. They added to their hatred for Joseph. And so here is a pun on his name. She, Rachel was punning that the Lord would give her another son after Joseph. And be added to, and so Joseph's name means added, or added to, something like that, added. And here, the brothers were adding their hatred to Joseph. So, we see how the writer here, Moses, uses these words and so on. So these are, these were, so let's back up. The Lord does this through these writers to help us understand that he likes his words. He likes his words. He likes the words that he's given us. And he likes them so much that he has all kinds of unusual puns and illustrations and grammar and everything else because he loves his words and he wants us to have a quench for his words and see what we can find here. All right, now let's go back to our passage, Genesis 49. Verse 22 and following, we also know this truth about Joseph is that he had two sons. He had two sons, and of course, this is relayed in chapter 48. Chapter 48 and verse 5, be one verse, 48:5, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. So here we see reference to Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitful, and Manasseh means forgetting. And so he had two sons. Now, fruitful here, Ephraim is part of the background of our verse 22, the fruitfulness that we find here as well. But before we get to that, let's consider one other passage. This is in Deuteronomy 33, so we've looked at this passage as well. So there are a handful of passages that deal with these sons. So Genesis 29 and 30, their birth. Genesis 33 has to do with Moses' statement of blessing on them. And then, of course, Genesis 49 that shows Jacob's blessing on the sons. But there in Deuteronomy 33, we have some phraseology that's very similar to our very text that we read today. 33 verse 13, so Deuteronomy 33:13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and the deep that coucheth beneath, and so on. So here it's talking about blessings on Joseph. And notice in verse 17, it says, his glory is like the firstling of the bullock, and his horns are like the horns of the unicorns. With them he shall push the people together in the ends of the earth, and they are tens of thousands, ten thousands of Ephraim, and they are thousands of Manasseh. So we're talking about the large fruitfulness of these two sons or tribes of Joseph. All right, so that plays in the some of our passage here as well. And then one other point here in our very text, Genesis 49, verse 22 through 26, we have an inverted parallelism, we might call it there. In verse 22, there's focus on his fruitfulness. And in verses 25 and 26, focus on his fruitfulness. And in between has to do with his strength. So we have fruitfulness, strength, fruitfulness. And as we try to organize this very passage in a Hebrew parallelism here. So focused on his fruitfulness is certainly the case. So I've entitled the message, The Glory of Joseph. And as we look here in these passages, his glory is demonstrated in three ways, by analogies, by blessings, and by focus. All right, first of all, let's look at the analogies relative to his glory. And we find this in verse first of all, in verse 22, where Scripture says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. So this certainly is a focus on fruitfulness, and we have an idea of a wall by a well and branches overrunning it, and so on and so forth. Now, it's interesting that the translators, going all the way back to the Geneva Bible, translate this way because actually it's talking about, the Hebrew says Joseph has fruitful sons, and fruitful sons by a well whose daughters run over the wall. So we've got sons and daughters here, but the translators, going all the way back to Geneva, and the King James, and even all modern versions, translates this as bowels rather than sons and daughters. But the point here is, he's very, very fruitful. And certainly, he being a picture of Christ, I think this jumps us forward to John chapter 15. Look there in John 15 for a minute. John chapter 15, and we see what the Lord says here in the 15:1, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Remember, Joseph prefigures the Lord Jesus Christ in many, many ways. So the Lord says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit, and so on. So we see the fruitfulness are those who are in Him, in the true vine. And so this passage jumps forward to the Lord here. And so certainly Joseph then was very fruitful, and the fruitfulness of him is because the Lord's blessing upon him. Lord's blessing upon him. In fact, he was such a blessing to his mother Rachel that she had more offspring through him than through the other sons. And so we see the fruitfulness of Joseph here. But verse 23, we have another analogy. So the first analogy is that he's a fruitful bough. Secondly, he's a firm bow. Here we see in verse 23, archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. All right, so here is the analogy of him being shot at by archers. Word behind archer there is really lords of arrows, or the bales of arrows. So in other words, those who are lording over arrows, they're the lord of an arrow. They know how to control an arrow. That's really the idea here. And the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Well, can we think of any illustrations of when that happened? Well, how about his brothers? That's a good starting point. They have grieved him, shot at him, they hated him, and so his brothers did. And then later on, how about Potiphar's wife? She really went after him, shot at him, and really hated him when he turned her down. And so, and then what about Potiphar himself? He really didn't give Joseph a fair trial. He just took his wife's word and threw him in prison. And so Joseph had a track record of having people being grieved with him, shooting at him, and hating him. Can you identify with any of that? Well, this was part of his life, and yet he didn't give up. He wasn't defeated in battle and so on. Actually, it's interesting to me anyway. The word behind hated him is the word Satam, S-A-T-A-M. Now, Satam means to hate, but there's another word relating to it, both noun and verb. The verb is Satan, S-A-T-A-N. And, of course, we get our word Satan coming from the one verb that is basically the same as the other verb there. Hated him with a satanic hatred. And so, Satan hates all mankind. He hates everything God has created. And where the Lord wants to bless and use and emphasize and so on, Satan hates this and comes along. And he brings out his hatred. Satan would want to destroy everyone and everything. He is a god of destruction. Apollyon and Abaddon, that's what he's called in the book of Revelation. So he's a god of he's a being of destruction. And he hates everything. And he brings out his hatred on men and mankind through various means. And so we as believers need to make sure we're not being used of him and we're not being inserted in his bow to be shot at others, but that we, on the other hand, are defensive of those that are being shot at. But anyway, we have this analogy as well. So he's not only a fruitful bough, he's also a firm bow, and he was able to undertake, as we see, as this analogy goes into the next verse here, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So his hands were made strong here. The word behind strong there is pazaz. We get the word pazaz from this. It's also used there when David danced. He danced with some pizzazz. Remember we talked about that, 2 Samuel 6. But this has to do with liveliness. His arms were lively, and he were, you might say, ample and able to pull the string on the bow, as it were, and defend himself. So this gives us a little bit of color in his defense, but he did defend himself and was victorious. Now let's jump over here to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. We've looked at this before, but repetition is good. Psalm 105. We have a little history of the Jews, and we pick it up in 105:17. Psalm 105:17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. It's the Lord's word. The word of the Lord tried him. And the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler over all the substance, and to bind the princes at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. All right, so we have this history. So keep in mind, as we've already gone through a lot of this and so on, how he was in battle here. He was being shot at by his brothers, being shot at by Potiphar's wife, being shot at by Potiphar, and being neglected by the butler and the baker and so on. So all these things against him, the scripture tells us he was being tried by the word of God. The word of God that the Lord gave him, and he prophesied in a dream. Now he's thinking about his dreams and wondering, how are these ever going to come to pass? But see, he trusted in the word of God, and the Lord blessed him as he trusted in the word of God. And so here we see some of the afflictions that he received, and he was hurt in the battle. But he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He wasn't mortally defeated here. See, and we're in a spiritual battle as well. And that we're going to be hit. And we're going to be hurt from time to time. But we need to continue to trust the word of God. And not allow the hits and the hurts to stop us. But we need to be as Joseph. And trust the Lord. Trust his word. So that in the end, we can see his fruitfulness in our life. So the believer's life is a life of battle. And we need to be faithful all along there, realizing that when we go into battle, there's going to be pain and difficulty and affliction. But we can come out on the other side if we trust the Lord. And we can see his fruitfulness in our life. And so here we have Joseph. Now let's move on. The glory of Joseph was not only demonstrated by analogies, but also by blessings. We notice that now in verse 25, first part of 26. Notice here, says, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Well, this is quite a mouthful of blessings. Six times the word, the verb or noun has showed up here, blessing, six times in this very short passage. And so certainly there is an emphasis on the Lord and his blessings. But as I mentioned here, the only reason he was blessed is because of who his God was. The Lord is the one who blessed him. But the blessing came about because he obeyed the Lord. Now let's look at these blessings as we see these are far-reaching. Notice, and remember now, next week I'm going to look at the five expressions for the Lord. So we're not focusing on the Lord at this point. But this we're looking at the blessings here. So we see in verse 25 it says, who shall bless thee with blessings, even the God of our Father? He's the one who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above. All right? And blessings of the deep that lie under. Now these expressions, heaven and deep, are expressions that are found back in Genesis, in the fact, the first chapter of Genesis, in the creation account, we have reference to heaven. We have reference to the deep. And we see that in verse 2. So in verse 1, we have reference to heaven. Verse 2, we have reference to the deep. And so the blessings that the Lord has poured out on His creation all seem to concentrate on one man. They seem to concentrate on one man. I mean, this is far-reaching. This is far-reaching. Wouldn't you want these blessings? The blessings of heaven above, the blessings of the deep that lie underneath, that lie under, rather. And so here, certainly, these blessings and this would have to do with the natural creation. And we've already seen that he's a fruitful vine, the natural creation. This will come up again in verse 26. But he has the blessings of a natural creation upon him. And then we see also words such as breast and womb. And so this would have to do with offspring, children, blessings and fruitfulness there in his offspring and blessings as well. In fact, some of the language here sounds like Psalm 1:3. Let's look there in Psalm 1:3. First Psalm, third verse in. Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Of course, remember, he's likened unto a vine by a well. Here's a tree by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so here we see the blessings on the blessed man. And I think we could take Psalm 1 and take Psalm 1:3 and superimpose this on Joseph and say, here is a good representative of what this passage is talking about. And so he certainly was blessed. Of course, the blessing came from the fivefold titles for God. Came from the Lord here. And then he goes on to say, in verse 26, the blessings of thy father, that's Jacob, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. That would be, literally, it could be Isaac and Jacob, or Isaac and Abraham. In other words, those who were immediately involved in his birth. Isaac, who came from Abraham and so on. So in other words, he's saying, the blessings of me, Jacob, your father, these are greater than the blessings of my father, Isaac, and grandfather, Abraham. These are great blessings that I am bestowing upon you. Actually, the Lord is through me. And unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. So this is an interesting expression here as well, but the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, whatever he means here, may indicate that these blessings are higher than the highest hills. Now, Ephraim did have some high hills in it. That was the territory of one of his sons there, so it may be a pun on that. But whatever he's saying here is that these blessings are greater than the mere material world. These are spiritual blessings. Greater than the highest mountains. And all that would be involved in them, these blessings. So these blessings all come from the Lord. These blessings are the blessings of the natural creation from the very beginning. These blessings have to do with your offspring. And these blessings are greater than any prior blessings given by your grandfather or great-grandfather. These blessings are upon you. All right, so I think we get the point. Jacob was trying to tell him, of all the sons, you're the most blessed. Why? Because by faith, He told his family at 17 years of age, I have received biblical revelation, and I'm telling it to you. You need to hear this. Even though I know you don't want to hear this, and you don't want to hear it from me. I am going to step out by faith, trust the Word of God. Then from 17 to 30, he had to trust the Word of God that the Lord would orchestrate the events so that this could happen. So we see he was a man of faith. He had faith in the Word of God. He trusted the Lord and the tremendous blessings that are poured out on him. So the Bible indicates here, if you will follow this example and trust the Word of God, first of all, in salvation, and then secondly, trust the Word of God, what it says here about baptism, church membership, and then trust the Word of God about faithfulness in a local church and serving the Lord and being faithful to Him in your Christian life, you can expect blessings in your life. You can expect that. You ought to expect that. You ought to look for that. I mean, you want to be blessed, right? Or you want to fall under God's curse? Which is it? I mean, we all want to be blessed, obviously. And so here we see an illustration, an example of this. And then not only was the glory of Joseph demonstrated by analogies and by blessings, but also by the focus here. Notice the focus we see in the last part of verse 26. It says, they, so this last part of verse 26, shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Those, first of all, they're going to be on his head. So this indicates his leadership, his understanding, everything that we could bring out of that on his head. Certainly an important part of him, the controlling part of his life and so on his head. And as I mentioned in Deuteronomy 33, so let's look at that one more time, Deuteronomy 33:17, the blessings here poured out upon him. As head of his family, would be manifested in, verse 17, his sons, the 10,000s of Ephraim and the thousands of Manasseh. So here we see a strong focus here on his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Of course, Ephraim meant fruitful, so here we see reference to 10,000s of Ephraim and thousands of Manasseh. So Ephraim had more than Manasseh, but certainly on the tribes then, the focus is upon Joseph and the nation of Joseph, you might say, is expressed several places, and the family of Joseph, and through the tribes, especially Ephraim and Manasseh. Actually, we have 13 tribes that ultimately came about. The one was on both sides of the Jordan, but anyway, we see the focus on Joseph and his sons. And then secondly, we would notice on his head, his headship. One of the greatest individuals in the Old Testament came from the tribe of Ephraim. And that was Joshua. Joshua came from the tribe of Ephraim. Which means then that Joshua was part of the fruit of the loins of Joseph. And we're told that in Numbers 13:8, several other places. But Joshua then became one of the greatest examples in the Old Testament. And, of course, Joshua, his name, is the same really as Jesus. And he prefigured the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And so here we see the blessed fruitfulness on Joseph. And then the last clause there states, and on that crown of his head of him that was separate from his brethren. That word separate there is Nazir, and it's the root word behind Nazirite. Now the Nazirites were individuals who were set apart for a specific task and a specific testimony. And here this word is used for him as well, and it's as if the Lord is saying, Joseph, you were set apart for a specific task. A difficult one. As a teenager, you had to tell your brothers and parents God's revelation, and you had to be the one used here. in difficult times, and you went through difficulties and 13 years of imprisonment and mistreatment and everything else. You had to do this, but you were set apart for a specific task of saving your family and really being the help for the house of Jacob or the nation of Israel to go forward. So he has a specific task. He has a specific task. And as we look at Scripture here, we see the blessing upon him as he carried out a difficult but specific task. I think by application we can say that we here at Bible Baptist Church, everybody in the room right now, the Lord's given a specific task to us. There's something special he's called us to do. And we're not here by happenstance. We don't believe in evolution. It's not just something that by luck we're here or some pagan idea like that. But we're here because the Lord has a special task for every person in here.
Amen.
And the task begins with salvation, begins with church membership, begins with living for the Lord. And if we'll carry out that special task, and the special task will have difficulties in it. Don't be asking, I want that special task, but I want to breeze through it, no problems. But I want to be blessed on the other end, but I don't want any problems, though. That task is not available. And if it were, somebody would have already gotten it. But it's not available. But he has a task for all of us, that he set us all apart for something to live for him. You see, he's got a special task, so we need to find that out. So as we look at the life of Joseph and all the blessings poured out on him, he obeyed the Lord. The Lord honored that and giving him a special task. And as he carried that out in faithfulness, the Lord then blessed him tremendously. And we can be blessed tremendously as well, not only in this life, but in the life to come. So we need to live in light of all that. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the time we've had to open the book of Genesis and to look at the life of Joseph. We thank you for giving us these scriptures and help us to think on these, meditate, and apply them to our lives. Help us to think in terms of what is the special task the Lord has for me? What has he set me apart to do? I pray that you'll speak to each heart. Help each of us to think of that. What does he want me to do in this life? What is the special task that I've been set apart to do? You've given us background, you've given us opportunity, you've given us experience, you've given us open doors. I pray that you help us to think in that, in light of that, and then to live in light of this as well. We pray that you bless our time now as we contemplate the Scripture, sing praises to thee, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.